Loud, now playing.
The Inspector General's.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loreich. Today we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about some of the big items in the news and see where you want to take the conversation. Our phone number is 813-239-9663 and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Lots of news has happened in the last 24 hours. I'm going to mention some of the stories that we could talk about, and then let's see where this conversation goes. Of course, one of the big news stories in the past 24 hours is that Inspector General's report, the Inspector General report condemning the FBI actions in the Hillary Clinton email investigation, blasts former FBI Director James Comey, but also denies total vindication to the president who fired Comey. The 500-page document stops far short of endorsing the attacks that were levied at Comey for the past year by President Donald Trump. We're going to listen to a short report from the Associated Press on the Inspector General's report.
The Inspector General's report into one of the FBI's most consequential probes in recent times singles out then-Director Jim Comey, calling him insubordinate and his actions extraordinary. It criticizes Comey for publicly announcing he recommended against criminal charges for Clinton 4 months before the election, and then for alerting Congress days before it that the investigation was being reopened. But the report says there is no evidence Comey was motivated by political bias. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
All right, so that's one of the stories that we could talk about. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663, and our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Well, the Trump administration is facing resistance from Democrats and even some Republicans over family separation of refugees at America's southern border.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says he's not comfortable with a Trump administration policy at the southern border.
We don't want kids to be separated from their parents.
Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi has another word to describe it.
This is barbaric. This is not what America is.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was asked why it is being done.
Because it's the law, and that's what the law states.
No, and the law. You guys don't have to do that.
It doesn't have to be the law, and the president has actually called on Democrats in Congress to fix those loopholes.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions cited the Bible in his defense of the border policy.
Obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
Ed Donahue, Washington.
Now, the Bible verse that was used to defend his department's policy of prosecuting everyone who crosses the border from Mexico, suggesting that God supports the government in separating immigrants from parents and their children. That's a Bible verse, Romans 13, and this is what Sessions said. I would cite you to Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes. And Sessions went on to say in Fort Wayne, he said, orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves. Consistent and fair application of the law is in itself a good and moral thing, and that protects the weak and protects the lawful. But the verse that Sessions cited, Romans 13, is an interesting choice because, according to John Fay, a professor of American history at Messiah College in Pennsylvania, there are two dominant places in American history where Romans 13 is invoked. One is during the American Revolution, when it was invoked by loyalists who thought the revolution against Britain was wrong, and the other is in the 1840s and 1850s, when Romans was invoked by defenders of the South and defenders of slavery to ward off abolitionists who believed that slavery was wrong. So we could talk about that too. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. New York State's Attorney General has filed a lawsuit accusing President Trump of using money from his charitable foundation to settle disputes involving his business empire and boost his political fortunes during his run for the White House. Yesterday, on the PBS NewsHour, there was an interview with David Farenthold, the reporter from the Washington Post, who's been covering this story about President Donald J. Trump's charitable foundation. And here's a really interesting interview on that topic. So, let's first listen to an AP report about that topic.
Attorney General Barbara Underwood's lawsuit charges the Trump Foundation served as a private checkbook for its founder and possibly an illegal campaign contributor. In a tweet, Trump called the suit politically motivated, which Press Secretary Sarah Sanders amplified.
The current acting New York AG has stated that battling the White House is the most important job she's ever done. That sounds outrageously biased.
Which it might be, if she'd actually said it. After succeeding the resigned Eric Schneiderman, Underwood called the job of attorney general the most important she'd ever had. Warren Levinson, New York.
Now let's listen to an interview that occurred last night on the PBS NewsHour about the Donald J. Trump Foundation and the allegation by the New York Attorney General that it misused foundation money for political and personal purposes.
Welcome to the show.
Okay, it looks like we don't have that. I will bring that up in just a moment. Let's see.
You may not have the money, but the thing you do have is the ability to make people laugh.
All right. That is not the right one. We're going to find that in just a moment. We'll take a few phone calls in right now. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. There's a bunch more sound I want to bring you. Adam writes this. I'm sure there's been mentioned, but can you please state again that there is no law requiring separating families? Trump just tried to claim that again this morning. He's lying. It's a Trump policy. And also did your comment about how North Korean people listen to Kim Jong-un, and that's what Trump wants with his people. I'm going to play that soundbite right now. Here's what President Trump said this morning about how the people of North Korea listen to the dictator of North Korea.
Well, with me being the mixed one in the family.
He brought the country together.
All right, so I'm having trouble with the sound. Let's see if we can find the right sound here.
Are we close to seeing Mr. Kim here at the White House?
Could happen. I mean,
they talked about that yesterday.
I would have him. Yeah, I think it's something that could happen. Yeah. Hey, he's the head of a country, and I mean, he's the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different.
Right.
He speaks, and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
President Trump wanting his people to sit up and pay attention to him. What did he mean when he said his people? My people. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And we're going to talk about some items in the news, see where the conversation goes. I'm suggesting that these are some of the topics that we could talk about, but maybe there's something else that you want to talk about too. 813-239-9663. And then Jason writes this. Perhaps Jeff Sessions missed this verse in the Bible. He says, in Leviticus 19:34-5, he said, the foreigner who resides with you shall be to you as one of your citizens. You shall love him as yourself, writes Jason. We're going to go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, so far, what do you make of all this?
Well, it's great, and I appreciate your work of, you know, showing us the actual sound bites. There's some people on YouTube doing the same thing, and Trump is constantly lying, contradicting himself and using marketing techniques that seek to confuse with lies mixed with half-truth. And then if he gets caught, he denies what he said or he says that he was being sarcastic. That's what he did just this morning after people were astounded that he said that he wanted his people to stand up and listen to him like the North Korean people have to listen to their dictator leader. He said, oh, I was just being sarcastic. So, you know, it's great to expose him with his own words, but I wanted to go back to a discussion you had a couple of days ago when you asked, why do people still support him? What is in the minds and hearts of Trump supporters? And I called on that day and talked about how I talked to Trump supporters, and I mentioned what they believe as far as policy. But what I didn't get to was the heart consciousness issues of the Trump supporters. Why do they not reject the man for his lying? And what I've learned is that what they really care about more than anything else is money success and the fun that goes with it. As I've been told explicitly by most of the Trump supporters I talk to, that even after I've proved to them that he is a liar, a nasty individual who has no integrity, abuses people, and is wanting to be a strongman dictator like the ones he praises, they say, but you know what? The economy is revving up, the stock market is great, and that's all I care about. That's kind of scary to me.
All right, Gary, thanks. Thanks for your thoughts. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what would you like to comment so far about?
Well, Rob, I think I'd like to echo what Gary said so eloquently and so truthfully. That statement should really put the fear of I don't know what into people in this country when he said that everybody should get up. Basically, what he's saying is everybody should salute me, should bow to me, and whatever, because he has the mind of a dictator. Also, another lie that was pointed out by Chris Hayes and Stephen Colbert. It was when he said that they asked him, Mr. President, when you go over there, can you ask Kim Jong-un to see if you can maybe, you know, see what he said about the remains of some of, you know, our children, you know, the parents? Well, if he's true, he said a lot of the parents were asking that. These parents would have to be over 100 years old.
Yeah, I saw that on Chris Hayes last night. He pointed that out.
And that, it's so easy. His lies are so easy. But like Gary says, people are brainwashed. People look at this guy, and I was looking at the press conference this morning, and the way he was just saying, you know, he thinks he's Don Corleone. And the way he went, quiet, 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 you know, and shut up, you know. Let me tell you something. In my opinion, we have one more chance. Well, hopefully they have one more chance, one big, but there's a few variables that with that chance. We have the midterms. We have Mueller. We have, hopefully, this thing with the AG. It's something that will stick to this Teflon Don. And if we don't, in my opinion, if we don't, and I've said this before, if he gets another term, God forbid, that with John Bolton in there, I believe this whole North Korea thing is going to go sour. And I think that they'll be back with John Bolton. There's a good, very high chance, and I've said this before, and I hope I'm so wrong, that he will put us into a big, big war. And we have one chance, unless we capture the House and Senate and maybe get rid of him and defeat him or whatever. And I'm telling you, Michael, I'm going to agree with Michael Avenatti that I still believe that he's going to go down and hopefully go down to disgrace and somehow just go down. And that's about the only shot we have, Rob. Because
all right,
I'll tell you what, I can see now why people, why Hitler took in people, why Jim Jones took in some people. When they see this guy who is a con artist, when you just see him, he couldn't sell me a pin if I would have met him when I was young. I would have seen a con like that, and I guess people just...
He looks like a used car salesman to
he
you.
He sure does. Right?
All right, Danny, thanks
a
lot. 813-239-9663. Rosemary's in Tampa. Rosemary, what would you like to comment about so far?
Hey, hi. You've had some very interesting phone calls, and I hear in the tone of voice, just like in mine, we're just like, it's so exasperated. At least me, I've had enough. But as a evangelical Christian, registered Republican, I really want to reach out to my brothers and sisters, because this guy is in office because of the evangelicals. And he will stay in office because of the evangelicals, and he will be voted in again. But I just, you know, as a Republican, as a never Trumper, I mean, to me, the writing is on the wall. It's really clear. He doesn't speak for me morally. Yeah, the economy could be doing better, but I'm not going to kid myself. I know the previous president has something to do with that. Yeah, all these other things, but again, you know, it's only been a year, and he might use these other things to like pull the wool over people's eyes. But to me, I think that I think it was your first caller. He hit the nail on the head. It is a heart condition, and it starts with each and every single one of us. It really is a heart condition, and I think it is because of money, the love of money. The evangelicals have gotten into this prosperity gospel. And they have swallowed it whole. And, I mean, it's a shame. This president just cannot speak for Christians, and yet they're all allowing him to.
Rosemary, I got to ask you a question. I've been watching some Jim Baker, who's a televangelist. Do you know Jim Baker?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So Jim is on there selling food and things to prepare for the end times, and he says the end times are closer. But over and over again, he says on his show to his flock, to his followers, that God ordained this, that God wanted to usher, God is really behind President Trump. We need to send our prayers to President Trump. What do you make of that?
I know. Well, you know, this person does not speak for me. I'm not going to judge, but I don't think that this person really has a relationship with the God and the Christ that he preaches. Because if he did, you know, really, no. See, they believe, I believe, that God does allow certain leaders to be in place. You know, but they have now taken it one step further, and they now say, oh, he's anointed.
Yeah, they say he's anointed. I just wonder if just Trump is anointed or every president is anointed.
Right, exactly. Because that's my point. If we believe what the gospel says, and the Bible does say that God will allow leaders to, you know, to be in place, it does not say anointed. So that means that Hitler was allowed to be. That means that Clinton, Obama, Bush, everybody, and including Trump. But then, yeah, but now they've graduated him because they love him so much. They've graduated him so he is the anointed one.
Yeah, you know, and I just don't understand. I don't understand how a guy who really doesn't seem to follow marriage vows,
is
so beloved by the evangelical community. Not the whole evangelical community, but
right,
that portion.
Not the whole.
Yeah.
But a pretty big portion. Yeah.
All right, Rosemary, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you.
Welcome.
All right. So we're going to listen to, this is the PBS report from last night about the Donald J. Trump Foundation. Trump and his children have been accused of using the Trump Foundation as their personal piggy bank. And here's an interview last night with the Washington Post reporter David Farenthold, who's been paying a lot of attention to this issue.
But first, a new legal challenge facing President Trump. Amna Nawaz explores how this time the focus is on Mr. Trump's charitable foundation.
The New York State Attorney General sued the Donald J. Trump Foundation this morning, alleging persistently illegal conduct and mismanagement at the president's charity. Here to explain it all, I'm joined by David Farenthold. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter with The Washington Post, whose initial reporting first launched the state probe looking into the Trump Foundation. David, welcome to the NewsHour. Let's start with just the fact that this was a 20-month probe led by the New York State Attorney General's office, but your reporting on this goes all the way back, early to the 2016 campaign. Few people know this better than you. Explain to me in simplest terms, what is it that the president and his three oldest children are accused of in this investigation?
What they're accused of, basically, is running a tax-exempt charitable foundation like a piggy bank. They're using it as just another checking account for Donald Trump to buy things for himself, to pay off the creditors of his business, and in 2016 to sort of act as a prop and to support his presidential campaign. They ran a charitable foundation. They were charged by law with safeguarding his assets, making sure they were spent for charitable purposes, and they often seem to have ignored those responsibilities and spent it on things that helped themselves.
So let's walk through some of those specifics. Now, there's one allegation that, as you mentioned, the nonprofit charity money was used to settle, in one case, legal matters related to the for-profit businesses. You had first reported that. There's another allegation of something called self-dealing. What is that exactly?
One of the most basic laws of nonprofit governance is that you can't take the money in your charity. If you're the leader of a charity, you can't reach into the charity's coffers and buy things that benefit yourself, even if you're buying them from other nonprofits. So even though this was called the Donald J. Trump Foundation, the money was supposedly set aside for independent use for charitable purposes. What Trump did was take the money and use it to buy things that helped him. So in one case, he spent $10,000 out of his charity to buy a large portrait of himself. And that portrait wound up hung on the wall at Trump's sports bar at the Doral Golf Resort. So that's kind of an obvious example. You can't use your charity's money to buy art for the wall of your sports bar. There was another case where Trump used the money in his charity to buy an ad for his hotels in the program at a charity gala in D.C. Again, even though the money went to a charity, the effect was to buy an ad for Trump's hotels. That's fine, but they got to buy it themselves. A charity can't buy it for them.
There's a political tie in this, too. There's another allegation that the foundation broke IRS rules by aiding political campaigns, including the president's own campaign. What do we know about that?
There's two campaigns that it allegedly helped. One was the campaign of Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, a Republican who was a Trump ally. Back in 2013, her office was considering whether to join a broader lawsuit against Trump University, alleging Trump University was a fraud. At the same time, she, Bondi, solicits a donation from Donald Trump, and he gives a $25,000 political donation out of his foundation. And so what's interesting about that, A, that's not what you're supposed to do. B, when the Trump Foundation filed its tax returns, its report to the IRS at the end of that year, it left off any mention of that illegal donation to a political group, instead listed that $25,000 donation as a gift to another group in Kansas that had sort of a similar name but was totally unrelated. Basically, it ended up disguising, whether it was on purpose or not, the fact that it had made this illegal donation, which didn't come to light till years later when we wrote about it. The other charity, the other campaign that the foundation helped was obviously Donald Trump's campaign. In the beginning of 2016, Trump had this fundraiser for veterans in Iowa, kind of as a counter-programming to a Republican debate that he was boycotting because of a feud with Megyn Kelly of Fox News. Trump used his foundation to sort of collect the money that came in during that veterans fundraiser, and then he used it to give away money during his presidential campaign events. What we know now from looking at what the Attorney General found was that the president's campaign was not only benefiting from sort of the goodwill that came with seeing him give away this charity's money, the campaign itself was telling the charity who to give the money to. There are these emails where the Trump's campaign manager says, okay, give this amount to this charity and this amount to that charity, and let's do it on this day when he has a rally before the Iowa caucuses. Basically, Trump's foundation, supposed to be independent, became a tool of his political campaign.
We should mention the president responded on Twitter. The Trump Foundation also issued a statement basically alleging political motivation for the lawsuit. The statement said, quote, this is politics at its very worst. And it's worth pointing out, look, the previous New York State Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, who resigned amid a sexual scandal, he'd been a real thorn in the president's side. He'd gone after Trump University, had launched multiple lawsuits challenging the administration. When it comes to the lawsuit, could politics have been at play here?
Well, certainly Eric Schneiderman, as you said, the former New York Attorney General, this investigation began under his watch. It concludes today with this lawsuit, which was launched by his successor, who happens to be not a politician. She's just an unelected official who got promoted when Schneiderman resigned. The question here is not who started it. Attorney generals are by their nature from one party or the other. The question is, what do the facts say, and what has Trump said about the facts? If you look at the complaint itself today, you see that Trump has actually already agreed with many of their conclusions, many of the examples of self-dealing. Trump spending money to pay off his business's debts, to make that political donation to Pam Bondi. Trump has agreed in all those cases, yes, I did that, yes, that was wrong. And he's already paid back the money and in some cases paid an excise tax. This lawsuit is asking him to pay back more, alleging more violations that Trump hasn't yet agreed to. So although he's charging it, you know, saying this is all a political witch hunt, it's all politically motivated, he's already himself conceded that a lot of the allegations brought by that investigation were true.
David Farenthold of The Washington Post, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, that was from the PBS NewsHour last night. All right, so that a story that involves not just the Trump Foundation, but involves our own Attorney General. What do you think? 813-239-9663. We're opening up the phones to talk about some of the big, major issues in the news. And Dennis in Brooksville writes, the Trump administration has reached a new low by quoting selective Bible verses to justify what obviously is immoral. This should be the last straw, but we've said that a lot. As for his wish that his people, sit at attention for him, he later said he was being sarcastic. However, habitual liars cannot use sarcasm, writes Dennis in Brooksville. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Rachel in Lakeland. Hi, Rachel. What do you make of all this?
So I guess I was listening to all that and just, I don't really know where to start sometimes, but I feel like it's sort of like Arrested Development, but in real life. You know, you have this family that uses all their money for really corrupt purposes, but at the end of the day, like, they're held accountable for it. And I think what's missing here, pretty much from all angles, is just accountability. And I think part of the problem is that he, like, Trump and the family sort of seem to, like, delegitimize pretty much any source that comes against them. And I was thinking about what Rosemary said earlier, you know, about how, as a Republican evangelical, like, he doesn't speak for her. But I feel like what happens a lot of times, like, is that whenever there's opposition against him, it becomes, like, a partisan issue instead of, you know, truth versus reality, like, reality versus, like, what he's telling people or, like, what Fox News is telling people. Because he's basically, it's sort of like an echo chamber between, like, him and Fox News, and it all just, sorry, I'm just...
Yeah, no, I know. We're listening to you. You know, it does seem that he does go on the offensive. But I do wait for the president to come up with facts that would support what he says. I think he usually dismisses. Go ahead.
Yeah, he dismisses, but then he also just sort of rambles about it and doesn't ever actually address the issue. He sort of either deflects or projects onto people, which to me is like. You know, obviously this guy's got some personal issues.
Yeah, I mean, he uses the term fake news over and over again. But, okay, if you do disagree with something that's said on CNN or in the New York Times, where do you disagree? That's what I keep waiting for the president to explain, and he doesn't explain.
Yeah. Right, and I guess, you know, between that and just, I guess, all of the corruption, like, I hate to, like, say this in a way because I feel like a lot of people might take it the wrong way. But if it were Obama or someone else, like, everybody would be up in arms over this, you know? And everybody just seems, like, not everybody, but, like, the population that actually supports him just continuously turns a blind eye to it. And it's just sort of, like, reminiscent of early fascism to me, in a way, just because, you know, he's starting off by delegitimizing the press, and now he's meeting with Kim Jong-un, who just sort of, like... regurgitates what he wants to hear about the world and how he wants to
hear. Yeah, you know, I don't think you're far off at all. I think there's a sizable number of Americans that want a strongman leader. And they don't necessarily subscribe to democratic principles. They're not worried about corruption. They want a strongman. They're happy with the low unemployment rate. And I understand that. I'm certainly happy with it, too. But that's not the only thing, as that first caller Gary said. It's not just about unemployment. It's about the way we handle ourselves in the world.
Yeah, and I guess, like, also my counterargument to the unemployment numbers is wages. Because even though, sure, like, you know, it's at an all-time low, or it's, you know, it's the lowest it's been in 60 years, but that doesn't account for people who just stopped looking for jobs or people who are just underpaid.
Or who are working three jobs to get by.
Exactly.
Yeah, so a lot of people are working two and three jobs. All right, Rachel, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, great call. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Arlene in Sarasota. Hi, Arlene. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hello, Rob.
Hi. Oh,
God, where do you start? I don't know why people still want to come to this country. That's number one, I guess. All this nonsense about the profanity that's been used starts from the stop. Pop. The fish smells from the head. Let's talk about language, which has reached a new low, and I thank the president for that. Let's talk about this horror of separating children from their parents. Let's talk about the spineless Republicans who... God knows. I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't stand up for what's right. Jeff Sessions, who is off the walls and uses the Bible, and Sarah, what's her name, deserves the Academy of the Award of the Year for standing there and defending this and saying, yes, the Bible says so. I mean, my God, does it end? Where does it end?
Well, Arlene, I think it ends when we get a new administration. Yeah. All right, Arlene, thanks a lot. It's going to be okay.
You think?
Well, yeah, I think we're going to survive this. We have survived a lot.
From your mouth. Sessions' ears.
Arlene, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Ben in Tampa, who's been holding for a while. Hey, Ben, you're on. What would you like to comment about?
Hey, can I derail the topic for a second?
Oh, yeah, as long as you're talking about something in the news, please.
Yeah, and then you can go back to the regularly scheduled TDS programming. It's about the changes in the local print media that we've had.
Okay.
Kate Bradshaw, Bay Warner of Creative Loafing got canned.
Okay.
Wow. Ellen Clark is still around over at the Daily Free TBT. They're only once a week now. And no editorial columns, no editorial cartoon. The Creative Loafing, their Trump Derangement Syndrome, you know, columns and, you know, articles ceased also. You're in the business. You know these people. What went down?
Well, you know, Kate is a really good reporter, and she worked here for a while, too, and produced a lot of good things here and a lot of good things at Creative Loafing. I think there's two problems. One is I think the cost of newsprint has caused the both the TBT and all the print newspapers to cut back. But I think that there are so many people getting their news online and not paying for it. So, you know, I read a lot of news online. When I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I go right to my phone, and my paper doesn't get delivered till about 5:30 or 6 o'clock. Then I open it up. But I think so many of us are getting our news for free. So
I'm talking about the changes in editorial positions lack thereof at this point.
Okay, so tell me what...
Maybe this is an advertiser issue.
You're saying that you're seeing a more conservative direction in Creative Loafing? Is that what you're saying?
In both of them.
In TBT, too?
Definitely no longer Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, do you think is that a good thing?
I don't know. Is this because the advertisers are going, hey, you're really, you know, trying to go and, you know, we sell a lot of trucks to people that voted for Trump, you know. Our barbecue place and our beers are drunk by a lot of Trump drinkers.
Well, maybe. You know, I think the country is very divided, but the Trump supporters make up 40-45% of society, and the rest of the society is pretty much anti-Trump. So you've got a real split in the country. I still think that the newspaper is one of the best places to look for car ads and one of the best places to look for all sorts of ads, if that's what you're interested in, furniture ads and all that. So I don't necessarily think that it's...
you don't think this is because the publisher on high in both publications said, hey, chill...
I don't know the new publisher, Creative Loafing. I've got a friend that works in the business. He says that it's a spoiled rich kid who's the new publisher of Creative Loafing. I do not know that for a fact, but I had a friend that used to publish a paper, a series of papers across the country, alternative papers. I don't know. And you know, Ben, I I'm not sure it really matters at this point. I think what really matters is the decline of the number of newspaper reporters who are working in all of our communities. That's what really matters.
Well,
and it's
actually,
not just
your buddy Daniel Roof said it one time years ago on your show. He said Craigslist just wiped out the print media.
Well, that's a big part of the problem, and we've got to figure out how to employ more newspaper reporters, because they are the best reporters in the business, better than TV reporters, better than radio reporters. They spend hours and days on a story. They fact check everything. They've got editors that look over everything, and then they go to press. But Ben, thanks a lot. We could talk about the future of the press sometime. I don't have any easy answer about the direction of TBT or Creative Loafing. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to Dwayne in Venice, Florida. Dwayne, what would you like to say?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, Rob, is when it comes to top drawer moderators, you're with them all. And
well, thank you for that.
You had a question earlier. You wondered who he was referring to with his people.
Yeah, who are his people?
Those like him, useful idiots.
Yeah, but the Trump supporters would say they're not idiots. They say this is what they would say. They would
say, a lot of them ain't useless either.
They would say, look, the economy's getting better. He's following through on his promises to put tariffs on Chinese goods. And this is what we voted for. And we like the guy because unemployment's down. And the stock market's up. So, you know, that's what they're looking at. And they're saying he's following through. This is what we voted for. So, but I would say you might be concerned about civil liberties, human rights, Trump's association with the dictator, some of the myriad of lies that the president has said, his putting theatrics over actual substance. You know, there was a lot of theatrics around the North Korea agreement. The actual substance of that agreement was one page long. It wasn't very. We don't really know where we're headed. Yeah. So I can see your side too.
Oh, I just want them to stop the kleptocracy.
Yeah, which hasn't, the kleptocracy has not stopped. I mean, when he talks about draining the swamp, he's put the alligators in the cabinet.
It's revved up.
The cabinet is filled with alligators who are making money off this administration, and his own family and he are making money.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, so, all right. Dwayne, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Great points. Let's listen to a little bit of the exchange of the White House over this big issue of separating refugee families at America's southern border, taking the kids away from the parents. This is Sarah Huckabee Sanders answering questions from reporters yesterday. It got pretty heated. Let's listen in on what was said at the White House press conference or press briefing yesterday.
Second question, completely unrelated, on these children who are being separated from their families as they come across the border. The Attorney General earlier today said that somehow there's a justification for this in the Bible. Where does it say in the Bible that it's moral to take the children away from their mothers?
I'm not aware of the Attorney General's comments or what he would be referencing. I can say that it is very biblical to enforce the law. That is actually repeated a number of times throughout the Bible. However, this... hold on, Jim, if you'll let me finish. Again, I'm not going to comment on the attorney-specific comments that I haven't seen.
It's in the Bible to follow.
That's not what I said, and I know it's hard for you to understand. Even short sentences, I guess, but and please don't take my words out of context, but the separation of illegal alien families is the product of the same legal loopholes that Democrats refuse to close, and these laws are the same that have been on the books for over a decade, and the president is simply enforcing them.
It's a moral policy to take children away from their parents.
It's a moral policy to follow and enforce the law.
When they come across the border,
Jim,
they're with their parents, and then suddenly they're pulled away from their parents. Why is the government doing this?
Because it's the law, and that's what the law states.
You guys don't have to do that.
It doesn't have to be the law, and the president has actually called on Democrats in Congress to fix those loopholes. The Democrats have failed to come to the table, failed to help this president close these loopholes and fix this problem. We don't want this to be a problem. The president has tried to address it a number of occasions. We've laid out a proposal, and Democrats simply refuse to do their job and fix the problem.
Two questions. First of all, there is no law that requires families to be separated at the border. This was the administration's choice to move from civil matters and immigration onto criminally prosecute people who come across the border illegally, and therefore they have to separate families. So why did the administration find that this was necessary? And if it continues to not have much of a deterrent effect, will you continue this policy?
Again, the laws are the ones that have been on the books for over a decade, and the president is enforcing them. We would like to fix the broken system that our immigration and fix our immigration problem. However, until Democrats are willing to actually fix this problem, it's going to continue. But we would like to see it fixed. Jill.
Take responsibility for its policy change from civil handling them as civil matters to criminal prosecution.
It's not a policy change to enforce the law. That's been this administration's policy since the day we got here.
In April, that he was going to make from handling it as a civil matter.
It has been our administration's policy.
The administration said it was a deterrent. They're separating families to deter people from coming here illegally.
Our administration has had the same position since we started on day one that we were going to enforce the law. I know it was something that wasn't high on the priority list in the previous administration, but it is on ours. We're a country of law and order, and we're enforcing the law and protecting our borders. We would like to fix these loopholes, and if Democrats want to get serious about it instead of playing political games, they're welcome to come here and sit down with the president and actually do something about
it.
Jill.
Don't you have any empathy?
Jill, go ahead.
Come on, Sarah. You're a parent. Don't you have any empathy?
sympathy for what these people are going through. They have less than
Brian,
you do.
Guys,
Sarah, come on,
settle down.
Seriously.
I'm trying to be serious, but I'm not going to have you yell out of turn. Jill, please call.
It's a law, and they have, these people have nothing.
Hey, Brian, I know you want to get some more TV time, but that's not what this is
about.
I want to recognize
you.
Go ahead, Jill.
Honestly, answer the question. It's a serious question. These people have nothing. They come to the border with nothing, and you throw children in cages. You're a parent. You're a parent of young children. Don't you have any empathy for what they go through?
Jill, go ahead.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders yesterday at the White House press briefing saying the separation of children from parents at the border is not her fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's not the Trump administration's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. And they are just simply enforcing the law. It's biblical to enforce the law, and they have no choice but to enforce the law. Now, the previous administration didn't enforce the law, she said, but now they're going to enforce the law. What do you make of that? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Somebody from the 239 area code writes, Trump does not have followers. He has worshipers. The phenomenon has gone beyond ideology and has become a religion. The evidence is that these people determine what is true by whether or not Trump said it, and either ignore any and all evidence to the contrary, or worse, pretend it's fake and they vilify the source, writes 239. Chris in Tampa says, maybe if you showed some fairness in your so-called news, you could reach your money goal, writes Chris. Hey, by the way, Chris, thanks for that. By the way, we ended our fund drive and we came up short, but we're just $4,000 away from reaching our goal. And if you love listener-supported radio, WMNF is the best listener-supported radio station in the entire state of Florida. Please go to our website right now and help us stay on the air so we can have these vigorous conversations. You can go to our website, WMNF.org, and make your contribution there. We're just $4,000 short of reaching our goal. Chris kind of taunting us, but that's okay. We read Chris's email, too. And remember, Daniel Ruth is coming up in the next hour. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks to Patty Perkey and Frank Knox, our phone producers today. And you're listening to a live and local show here on WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Richard in Plant City. Richard, you're on. What would you like to say about all this?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listened to Morning Joe this morning, and he kind of summed up the way I've been trying to figure out why people support Trump. And basically what he said is they're just stupid. And I kind of like, what a man that says that he's going to, he could murder a person in plain,
on 7th Avenue, yeah.
And kill this person, could be a woman, a child. Doesn't matter, they'll still vote for him. He can tear children away from their parents and throw them in cages, and these folks will still vote for him. He will undermine all our relationships with friends and embrace the enemy, people, these leaders that kill people, and he embraces them, and they still vote for him. I just don't get it. I don't know where these people are coming from. And if they say, well, the jobs are good and the economy's good, Trump has nothing to do with that. We all know that. And then Sarah Huckabee saying that it was the Democrats that caused this. I mean, that is such blame shifting. It's unbelievable. And I don't know, when is this country going to wake up, or are we waking up?
Yeah, Richard, I think in any country you're going to find people that want a strong man as their leader. And the principles of democracy or fairness or keeping families together, there are going to be people who just ignore that. And I think we have to live with that. It's going to be true in any country. But I think that those people that do support democracy, don't want to have graft or undue economic influence in government, people that want the rule of law, that when you come over the border, it's not a crime. When you come over the border, it's a civil offense. And, say that we can't do what the previous administration does, okay, if you're going to round people up, don't separate the kids from the parents. Keep the families together. But there are going to be people that think that, you've got to enforce the law with an iron fist. There's always going to be those people in society. You just hope that the people that believe in small d democracy and fairness and humanity, that they are in the majority. That's what you hope.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, I really think the focus should be directed on the people that support Trump.
They're not going to change their minds, no matter what you... I mean, especially if you call them stupid, they're not going to change their minds. I mean, I think there's got to be a different... You know, Joe has every right to say what he says on MSNBC. But I don't think you're going to change their minds by calling them stupid. I think you've got to appeal to either their religious faith, their humanity. There's going to be something, I think, that eventually... you know, I remember during the days of Richard Nixon... having tremendous arguments with people that were Nixon supporters. Eventually, about late 1973, early 1974, most of them that I argued with began to change their mind and see that Nixon really was a criminal. But it took a long time. They resisted. 72, most of 73, they resisted. There is going to be a time when the light shines and people wake up. But calling him stupid, I don't think helps.
No, I don't want to call people names, but I just can't understand, you know, where they're coming from. And it just, you know, my mother-in-law was married to a captain in the Air Force, Navy Air Force, and he was a Fox fiend. He just listened to Fox all the time, and she just followed him, and she's probably in her mid-80s now. He passed away, and she's up in North Georgia. We're up just a couple of months ago visiting her, and she came out and said that she was afraid. And I said, what's the matter, Jean? She said, I voted for Trump, and I am so afraid of this man now. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, in my mind, I said, well, you'll be dead before he can really screw up this world. But I think a lot of these older people are starting to realize that they made a big mistake. And nobody that I know likes to say that they made a mistake.
Yeah, nobody does. Nobody likes to admit they're wrong. Yeah. All right, Richard, thanks a lot. Thanks.
All right.
Nice talking with you. Well, good to talk to you. And you know, we're going to survive, especially if the people that believe in human rights and social justice stick together. If you believe in democracy, if you stick together, we're going to make it. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, our email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Mike in New Tampa. Mike, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hi,
Mike in New Tampa. Mike, you must have one of those newfangled phones that doesn't work. Yeah, you're breaking up. We cannot hear you at all. Mike, are you still there? All right. That's Mike voluntarily leaving. Let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Hey, Patty, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
I would like Sessions to bring up the scripture of the parable of the Good Samaritan, because that's more reflective of what Jesus would want.
Didn't Jesus say that you got to separate the families at the borders and don't harbor anybody
right.
that you don't know? Isn't that what Jesus said?
No, he didn't.
Didn't he say that you got to be angry at immigrants? Isn't that what Jesus said?
No, didn't
Jesus say that you've got to put people in cages? Well, I think that's in the Bible somewhere. Didn't it say that, you know, take the four-year-old and separate the four-year-old from the mom, or take the breastfeeding baby and separate the breastfeeding baby? Jesus said that. It must be in there because, you know, Jeff Sessions wouldn't lie, would he?
No, people cherry pick it and they use it. And it's been down through history. Political leaders have done it. The truth is that if you're going to look at how he wants us to treat each other, we all know it's this Good Samaritan and the way the Good Samaritan did it. But I want to ask your opinion on something. Okay, so we've got all these people at the border. They're separating them. What I want to know is, why aren't some of the Democrats, why aren't some wealthy private citizens, even though we're in this mess, set up living conditions, I don't care what kind of tents, I don't know anything about this, to provide food, comfortable bedding, everything for these people to be in a home until this stupid thing gets, you know, settled. A tent, I don't care. Why aren't these wealthy billionaires who are quote-unquote liberal... We need to gather our resources and take care of the people while the stupidity of our government is going on. And I think we can call that stupidity. So how can that ever be done while these people are suffering?
It's become a law enforcement issue. These are now camps, maybe concentration camps. I don't know what you'd want to call them. But there, people are being held by armed guards, law enforcement, in cages in some cases. It's no longer, these are not people that have access to charity. These people are being rounded up.
Well, we got to be able to do something in our so-called democracy to get somebody with balls, excuse my language, to get down there and organize with the power of this, even this, you know, you look at the high school boy from Parkland. There are people gifted by God with leadership qualities and a good heart. And if they have access and resources, they can do the right thing. And I'm just wishing, I mean, you cannot deprive someone of food. If they want to go down there through the cages of, you know, with the armed guards, and they have a better alternative, or else there are going to be people dying of heart attacks and stress. And I would think they'd allow that.
People have already died in these camps, too. Patty, thanks a lot. Patty, thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, I think it's important that if you feel strongly either way about this, that you call your member of Congress. And tell them what you feel. You know, Jeff Merkley from Oregon, the senator, a Democrat, went down to Texas the other day and got turned away at one of these detention camps. But I got to say that you got all the cameras with you. And if I were Merkley, I would have said, I'm a U.S. senator. I'm here to inspect this camp. Let me in. And I would have faced arrest if I were Merkley. He let the cops turn him away. And yeah, it was good that he went down there. But you know, I think it's up to somebody with the profile of a U.S. senator to try to get into these camps and take some video of what the conditions are like for the kids, and ask the kids how they feel about being separated from their families. Somebody's got to, I think, commit nonviolent civil disobedience, and I think U.S. senators and members of Congress are the ones to do it. Adam writes this regarding Sarah Huckabee Sanders' appearance yesterday. Adam says, it's really striking that she can't even say, yes, I have empathy for these people, writes Adam. And Gina writes, the Obama administration did enforce the law. Many deportations took place on his watch. However, there was no separation of children, writes Gina. Let's go to Mike, who's on I-4, going from Tampa to Atlanta. Mike, what would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
I'm good. What would you like to say?
Well, there's a billboard that if you're driving eastbound on 4 from Orlando to Tampa, previously it said, Make America Sane Again. Now it's saying, Make America, America Again. I'm a 20-year naval veteran. My dad was in the Army. He was shot up pretty badly over in the Korean War. He had bullet holes up and down one side of his body. He was awarded the Silver Star for gallantry, and he had the Purple Heart. So he really sacrificed. Now, I watched President Trump go over, and because he's such a liar on what are basic things, I don't believe anything coming out of what they say transpired. He may have already given away South Korea. It's just a matter of time of us moving our troops out, and now that country is going to be taken over completely. He's an illegitimate president. The election was tampered with. The First Amendment is being overlooked. CNN, some of the outlets, they're doing their best to report the facts. And every turn is being countermanded, and the First Amendment is being overlooked. Now, I know a lot of people go right to the Second Amendment. That's fine. But there is a reason that the First Amendment came first. And if we're not careful, we're going to be a despotic union controlled by a dictator. The kleptocracy is going to continue, and we're going to all be scratching our heads. My brother, I hate to admit this, but he voted for Trump. I voted against Trump. Now, the Bible does say in the end times, brother against brother. And I believe to me that's an indication.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Drive safely up there to Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
Mike talked about, you know, what kind of country we're headed for. Let's listen to what President Trump said about what he wants his people to do. This is what he said this morning.
Are we close to seeing Mr. Kim here at the White House?
Could happen. I mean,
they talked about that yesterday.
I would have him. Yeah, I think it's something that could happen. Yeah. Hey, he's the head of a country, and I mean he is the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different.
Right.
He speaks and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
President Trump wants his people to sit up at attention. Mark writes this. He's in Brandon. He said, could you imagine for even 30 seconds what may be going through Sarah Sanders' mind each morning as she's getting ready to go to work, or when she walks in her home each night and sees her family? That's Mark, his email. Mark, thank you for that. And then Eli writes, what does our law say about cruel and unusual punishment if these law dogs pick and choose the laws they want to follow them? My question is, who is overseeing the politicians and their cherry picking? Eli, thanks for that. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play those comments back for you Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Dan Ruth continues the conversation next on the Midpoint program. Thanks to Patty Perkey and Frank Knox for being the phone producers today. I'm Rob Lori. Have a great weekend. This is WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for the latest news from National Public Radio.